Powering Tomorrow, der Podcast vom Verbund X.
I see Europe booming. That to move quickly, to take great leaps forward, there's going to be mistakes along the way. You can never stop innovating.
Welcome to Empowering Tomorrow, the podcast from Verbund X. Together with top experts, we explore the future of energy in Europe. We talk about innovations, technologies, and bold initiatives that are already shaping a sustainable energy future today. How can we reach a climate-neutral Europe? How can we close the innovation gap? These are the questions we will tackle in this podcast. My name is Franz Zöchbauer. I'm the Managing Director of Verbund X, the Innovation and Venture Unit of Verbund, Austria's leading energy company. Let's get started. Welcome to Empowering Tomorrow, the podcast by Verbund X, where we explore the innovations shaping our energy future. Today we are joined by a truly exceptional guest, someone who has helped shaping the future of clean energy and innovation on both sides of the Atlantic, Steve Westley. Steve served as controller and chief financial officer of the state of California in the team of Arnold Schwarzenegger, was an early investor in Tesla, and he is the founder and managing partner of the Westley Group, one of the world's leading venture capital firms focused on clean technology and sustainable energy. Steve, your track record speaks for itself, and we are really honored to have you with us today. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
Steve, we have been in close contact for nearly a decade now, and every time we speak, I'm struck by the clarity and precision how you assess the future of energy and innovation, and especially by how effectively you support startups in scaling globally. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation today.
Well, likewise, I will look hard to live up to your expectations. You've set, I'm afraid, a high bar for me. I'll do my best.
You're always great, Steve. Yeah. In our first season of our podcast, we're exploring one of the most important questions of our time, how we can close the innovation gap, particularly in Europe and in the energy sector. And starting with the big picture, the facts are clear. According to the International Energy Agency, 35% of the emission reductions we need to reach to net zero still rely on technologies that aren't fully deployed or commercially available. That means over a third of the solution simply doesn't exist at scale. Yet, this is our innovation gap, and we fail to close it, we fail to solve the climate crisis. So we must close this innovation gap, and we must do it fast. Steve, you have a remarkable success turning early-stage ideas into major success stories. Out of 45 startups you have invested, 9 went public, and several reached multi-billion dollar valuations. That's really impressive. And to put this in the context of our discussion today, here in Europe, we are often strong in research, but not as strong when it comes to scaling. From your perspective, what are the key barriers Europe needs to overcome to close that innovation gap in the energy sector?
You bet. It's an excellent question. I'm one of the rare people you know, maybe your listeners have met, who grew up in Silicon Valley. So I've had a front row seat to the greatest explosion of innovation, technology, wealth creation in human history. And as I look at Europe, I see Europe booming. It is a completely different continent than it was 20 years ago. We think a lot of the entrepreneurship has already jumped the ocean, and that we see more and more attractive startups in Europe, and we're investing more in Europe all the time. But I think Europe can do more and can move faster. The two things that are really on the top of my list, I think, as advice, is one, Europe needs more venture capital firms, financial institutions. You have many, 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 you know, UBS, Credit Suisse, many large financial institutions, but many fewer that are prepared to take the risk necessary to incentivize and support the next generation of leaders. The other thing we see from European startups is there's often a great technical founder. Europe has exceptional universities, but We believe there is opportunity for your great business schools to spend more time teaching innovation, encouraging risk capital. I must pause here and tell you a story. When I graduated from Stanford's Graduate School of Business 30 plus years ago, all of the cool kids, the smart kids, they want to work for Goldman Sachs or McKinsey. Today, it has dramatically changed. Almost all of the top students want to form a startup. The business schools are pushing this. They're promoting it. It has become part of the culture. I think Europe needs to go through this same transition, where the end of the day for your best and brightest should not be Goldman Sachs or McKinsey, as great as those companies are. It should be creating Europe's next great ecosystem for entrepreneurship. And I think you've already begun this. The Samwar brothers, who I worked with at eBay in the old days because we bought a firm called Alondo that they had started, you're seeing extraordinary success stories. The same with the founders of Skype, one company after another. And today, our fastest growing company is Enpal out of Berlin, Europe's first major green unicorn. So Europe is on the path forward, just needs to move faster, more risk capital, and really build up that entrepreneurial expectation in your best business schools.
Thanks for this first thoughts. That's a clear recommendation in the directions of a stronger venture mindset. If we look and compare Europe and the Silicon Valley, what can we learn from your side, but without losing our own strength? What are your thoughts on that? You mentioned that we have great universities and research institutions, but what is really needed to see a tighter integration between venture capitalists, tech startups, and industry?
So I think it's this mindset that to do innovation, to do change, potentially radical change, there has to be a little bit more of a risk mindset. And we work with a lot of corporate strategics in Europe, and they understand innovation, but they're not quite understanding or comfortable that there needs to be a leap that gets taken. And that means risk. And for a lot of the bigger European companies, you know, taking too much risk is it runs counter to the great cultures in Switzerland and Germany, I think, in particular. People need to get comfortable with that risk. And we're seeing large innovation centers in London springing forward. In Berlin, there's a super active entrepreneurial sector. And we're seeing it spring up in Vienna. And we're very excited about this. But I think there needs to be an understanding from the major financial investors and corporations that to get ahead, to move quickly, it requires a willingness to do things sometimes a radically different way. And not every one of those bets is going to succeed. But if you look at the great entrepreneurs of our time, whether it's Steve Jobs, Jensen Huang, Elon Musk, they're all risk takers. And Europe in general needs to get its arms around this notion that to move quickly, to take great leaps forward, there's going to be mistakes along the way, and you can't fire those people or let this be a career-ending situation. You need to support your entrepreneurs, even those that have the occasional miss.
Okay, and what does it mean for established companies, like established energy companies like Verbund? We are also in the field of doing corporate venture capital and pushing innovation forward. But what really do you expect from established companies? And you have 33 of the world's largest corporations and innovation leaders in your fund. Do you have some best practice examples at the corporate level as well?
Yeah. I mean, let me give you an example with the German auto industry. We work with Audi and Volkswagen. These are great companies. But I think they had done so well for so long, it was hard to break out and realize that the future might be going in different directions. I think Europeans, and especially the German auto industry, was a bit late to electric vehicles. They didn't see that Tesla thing coming. They weren't looking over the horizon and understanding that just because German vehicles, even Americans would admit, were probably the best for the last half century. But that is no promise you're going to be the best for the next century. And I think we call this in America, I call it the paradox of being number one. If you're the best auto company, like, say, Volkswagen, or if you're American, it's easy to say, oh, we're the best, or maybe Harvard or Stanford as a university or Cambridge. That doesn't mean you can stop innovating. You can never stop innovating. And if you become too comfortable with your dominant position, others will pass you by. One of my favorite quotes is from Steve Jobs, who said, if you are not busy obsoleting your current company and business model, someone else will be. And I think to bring this back to Verbund, we view Verbund as one of the most progressive and profitable utilities in all of Europe. And one of the things I like about Verbund is you are not standing on your principles. You are continuing to invest in innovation. Whenever I talk to Franz, you or the Verbund team, they're always saying, what's new? What should we be trying next? Where's the future going? These are the precise three questions to ask. I think Verbund is doing the right things. Let's see if we can help get you there faster.
Steve, you've been also one of the first investors in Tesla. If you look to the future and shift to the investor's lens, if you were to place a big bet on a European energy startup today, what would you look for? What makes a clean tech founder idea stands out to you?
Well, what we did at Tesla is exactly what you should be doing today. So at Tesla, we were looking at global themes. Obviously, there's a global move to decarbonize. But we were also watching carefully at the precipitous, the rapid downward cost curve of batteries. Because simply put, 30 years ago when General Motors came out with the EV1, the power density in batteries was so poor and weak, you just laughed at these vehicles. They took 11 seconds to get to 100 kilometers an hour. They had a short range. They were a joke. But we knew because of the revolution in handheld devices and iPhones and laptops, batteries were becoming more efficient quickly. And we also saw the future, perhaps a little before others, that as battery prices came down, electric vehicles would not only become possible, they would become better. And so instead of trying to understand the future by looking in the rearview mirror, we were looking at where things were going. And that's why we made what at the time was considered to be a radical, risky bet in batteries and electric vehicles. But we knew because of the cost down curve, it was not a radical bet at all. It was just a matter of time. And as people have seen, the world is now rapidly moving towards electric vehicles. 1/5 of all cars sold on the planet last year were electric. This year it will be 1/4. Next year, 1/3. And the costs continue to go down as the Chinese auto company BYD goes global. So the same thing, I think, is true for Verbund. You need to look at the trends that are coming. And I'll tell you the largest trend is this explosion of artificial intelligence is creating the largest build-out of data centers in history. And when you combine that with the electrification of global transportation modes, we are about to live through the largest growth in energy demand and build out of energy supply in human history. And that means all of us, all over the planet, need to get smarter about new ways to produce energy that are greener than the ones we've had in the past, like coal, to A, keep up with the demand, and B, reduce global warming. It is not so easy to do all these things together, but there are a lot of technologies we're excited about, from geothermal to virtual power plants, which are probably at the top of our list for deployment.
Steve, your message, it's not so easy. It brings me to a quote of Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can have results or excuses.
Yeah.
So it's
I think that's right.
Yeah. As you worked together with Arnold during your time in the government in California, and I think you're still a close friend of Arnold. What's your perspective on how you're shaping together the future of energy on a personal collision, you both?
You know, it's interesting you mention Arnold Schwarzenegger because I've worked with him extensively, both inside government and in the gym. I've worked out with him and even recently in Vienna. To me, he is one of the most inspiring people I've ever met or witnessed. He's the only person I know who's become a world champion athlete as a bodybuilder, then comes to America and says, I want to come to America to become an actor. No, a star. And he becomes the top box office grossing star in the world for close to a decade. And then says he wishes to go into politics. No one thinks this is possible. And within a short time, he's become governor of California, the world's fifth largest economy. For one person to do this in one life is extraordinary. And I've thought a lot about why did he do this? How? And I believe the answer is he is the single most positive person I have ever met in my entire life. Once he has a vision on what he must do, he is absolutely unstoppable. And I think there's a message there for Verbund and the global energy industry. There's a challenge before us. We have to build more power faster than ever before, and increasingly without traditional carbon-based fuels like coal and even natural gas. I am utterly convinced we can do it. We have a clear vision at the Wesley Group for how to do it. Now it's a matter of executing without any excuses. And one of the things you learn if you spend time with Governor Schwarzenegger is he doesn't want to hear excuses. He just wants to hear the positive vision and how we execute. By the way, I think Mario Draghi has identified a similar vision for how to fix the European economy, how to restore faster growth, how to bring more innovation to the continent. And I will tell you from a Silicon Valley standpoint, everything Draghi is calling for is exactly what Europe should be doing. And I think, frankly, Verbund is already doing it. I just want to make sure we can help Verbund do it faster for Austria and Europe, the continent as a whole.
Thanks, Steve, for this perspective. So to summarize, maybe this conclusion from the political side, do you think that we have the best regulatory framework already in place in the U.S. and in Europe to driving investment in the U.S. and Europe for clean energy? You have in the U.S. the Inflation Reduction Act. So in Europe, we have Green Deal Fit for 55. Do you think we need more regulations to support renewable energy? Or do you think it's just a matter of execution? We have the framework, now just let's do it.
So I think the private sector knows exactly what to do. Our utility CEOs are amongst the most forward-looking in the world. The challenge for the U.S., as you know from reading the papers, is we've had a change in political leadership. I think the Biden administration understood very clearly this is a case where I'm not afraid to admit as an American, but China really had the correct game plan. They wanted to become a leader in solar and wind, batteries, and electric vehicles. The government heavily subsidized those industries, and we in America sometimes complain about that, but I agree with Governor Schwarzenegger. You can't live in a world of excuses. And by the way, we subsidize some of our own industries as well. The Biden administration, I believe, correctly said, hey, to keep up in this energy world with the Chinese, and in fact to lead, we need a massive stimulus program. The Biden administration got that passed with bipartisan support, and I believe set the country on the best path that it's been in. Unfortunately, the Trump administration has decided to go a different direction. I believe it's going to slow America down, and I think that is a regret. Now, it does create the opportunity for Europe to pick up the slack, for Europe to lead in solar, battery production, EVs. It may require some government support. It may require some stimulus, but this is the future. And I think Europe has a rich opportunity, and Verbund at the front of this movement as the most profitable utility in Europe to really emerge as an innovation leader. And I will tell you exactly where things are going, but it is wise to look at what Enpal has done to become the solar installer leader in Germany, then the battery Powerwall leader in Central Europe, and didn't stop there, then became the leader in installing heat pumps, but is always looking forward. It's now becoming the leader in installing smart meters and now virtual power plant opportunities. And so they have quietly aggregated an enormous amount of energy capacity that they can help provide to Europe's largest utilities when you have times of maximum demand, as Europe has just seen over the last 30 days with your massive heat waves. So I am very optimistic about Europe. I think you have the right policies. I think you have the right companies like Verbund leading. And now you have more and more model, we call them green unicorns, like Enpal. So I am optimistic about the future. And that's why at the Wesley Group, we're planning to open our next office somewhere in Europe. We want to be where the action is.
That's great news, Steve, that your appetite for investing, you've been in startups, is increasing, and you're also planning some coming to Europe with an owner office. What excites you most right now about the potential for innovation in Europe? Do you have one or two thoughts on what's the most exciting things that are going on in Europe?
First at the top level, when I used to come to Europe in the old days, people would talk about the great history and tradition and the great companies, Mercedes and Deutsche Bank and so on. Now everybody's talking about innovation. They're talking about Mario Draghi. They're talking about, universities. I know St. Gallen is really trying to become a leader in innovation. And I know universities all over Europe in Vienna are offering innovation programs at the business school. I think there's been a noticeable uptick in the interest in becoming an entrepreneur. You just didn't hear that in Europe as often. 20 years ago, people wanted to go work at investment banks in London or car companies in Germany. That's changing. Now I think everybody wants to be maybe not Elon Musk, but perhaps Jensen Huang or Mark Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs. But we think it's become part of the culture in Japan. In Europe. It's not just looking at Europe's extraordinary history. It's looking with equal excitement at Europe's future. And I think it's a very exciting future.
Thanks, Steve. Finally, a question on working together. It's great that we have this conversation today at the podcast Empowering Tomorrow by Verbund X. But how we could foster more climate tech innovation investment across the Atlantic? And what would be your single most important advice to Europe for closing the innovation gap?
Well, again, I think it's providing investments to bring more funds there. I think Europe is so large, you need to have a vibrant venture ecosystem in each of your major cities. Berlin, London, it's already starting, but I think the next big areas to move are likely to be Vienna, maybe Zurich, possibly Barcelona. We're looking at all of these areas. Copenhagen's also booming. That's why we plan to come to Europe. And we think the EU is extraordinary. because of the EU presence, the ease of use to travel around one country to another without a passport. There are many things we find attractive to Europe. Now, the one thing I think Europe does need to be careful about is Europe has very friendly employee laws, and there's talk of 35-hour work weeks and so on. Not all of that is a good fit for entrepreneurship and people who have companies that must need to, you know, work longer weeks. But we think that's those things are fixable. But I think if Europe can continue on with its commitment to innovation and make the investing climate attractive to firms like ours, Europe is going to bloom for 100 years.
Steve, thank you so much for your time, your insights, and your vision. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you with us. Your deep understanding of the energy transition from policy to startup execution, from Silicon Valley to Europe, is both inspiring and incredibly valuable. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you for your work you continue to do to move the world towards a more sustainable future. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Empowering Tomorrow. Stay tuned for more conversations with the voices shaping the future of energy. If you have enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to Empowering Tomorrow and leave us a review. Your support helps us to bring more fascinating guests like Steve and keep the conversation going around innovation, climate tech, and venture capital. And remember, the future of energy depends on the things we do today. Let's empower tomorrow together.